she's not lonely. And 15, she might not be. People are pissed at a fake Satanist. Oh, why? How could you breathe?
For those of you who missed it, this summer's internet obsession was a putative 15-year-old named Bree, a.k.a. Lonely Girl 15, who posted a video diary of her narrow but deeply felt life on YouTube, that global repository of mostly homemade videos. Lonely Girl was sweet, a science geek, a possible Satanist, there were hints, and a great big mystery. Some 500,000 avid fans tuned into her video musings, filmed mostly in her bedroom by her pal and potential love interest, Daniel. And viewers weighed in with comments and video responses to her and the community that had formed around her on YouTube.
A lot of you guys were commenting on the hiking video. I mean, I was laughing at the fact that everybody was saying that he liked me, and I just asked him, I said, "Well, do you?" And he didn't say anything for a really long time, and then he just said that he did.
But soon something happened. The speculation moved from her relationship with Daniel, her repressive parents, and her unspecified religion to the very authenticity of Bree herself. And then this week, suddenly it was all over. Bree was exposed as a 19-year-old acting student by the name of Jessica Rose, and Lonely Girl as the brainchild of some aspiring filmmakers test-driving, they say, a new form of participatory art. Oh, Lonely Girl, we hardly knew ye. And it seems some of us preferred it that way. Braves Girl 5 venting on YouTube.
You know, it just sucks because there's so many people who made video responses to Lonely Girl's videos, and you know what? They're gonna feel stupid now because they got caught up in the drama, and since everything about Bree was bull****, I don't think she's gonna be half as popular as she was before because the fans of Lonely Girl, they're gonna know, okay, well, this is fake, so it doesn't really matter.
Jane McGonigal, a game designer and expert in the field of collaborative play, says that if the public turns against the creators of Lonely Girl, they have only themselves to blame, because her creators never gave the public a chance to actively participate in the game that was Lonely Girl. Viewers didn't know the rules. In fact, they didn't even know for sure it was a game.
You can have a lot more fun if it's just a story, right? If you're not concerned about ruining someone's life, if you're only ruining a character's life, you can be a lot more creative. You can push harder on it. It makes a big difference for audiences to have a kind of transparency where they can see through the frame and understand how far they can take it.
But all viewers could do was post on YouTube. And ultimately, it was more fun talking to each other about Bree than talking to Bree.
The audience decided the primary puzzle was not what will happen next in the story. The real puzzle was, who is this woman? And I think a lot of that meta gaming happened because there weren't more things to do in the formal environment of the Lonely Girl world. If there had been more ways to game her life, we might have seen that community's energy be driven towards the experience itself rather than going outside the boundaries of the experience to rip the mask off the puppet masters.
And rip they did, thanks largely to Matt Faremski, 18-year-old son of Tom Faremski, a former Financial Times reporter turned blogger at SiliconValleyWatch.com. Matt linked from Bree's YouTube page to her MySpace page, which was locked up, but then took her MySpace username and plugged it into Google, where he searched its cache pages, where he found some photos and, oh, never mind. The point is, he found Jessica Rose, and he's glad. But he still doesn't know what to think about Lonely Girl.
I'd like to see what their intent was with the whole campaign, if they're just doing a true experiment for experiment's sake, or they were trying to make a viral marketing campaign and they'll try to monetize it in some way. I'm not a fan of that, and I'm sure their user base would be spurned by that, too.
But if they weren't doing it to make money, you'd be more accepting.
Yeah, of course, because it's more authentic.
More authentically fake?
Yes.
Thank you, Bree, for showing me not to believe all I see. Right from your dorm, you made a new art form. But now, goodbye to Bree.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Fuolo, and edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director, and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. We took that musical clip about Brie from Highly Defective People from YouTube. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Is she real? Is this a big corporation scam?
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Oh, really? You don't think we figured that out, did you?
On the Media is supported by Ciaobella Gelato, purveyors of all natural gelato and sorbet. Ciaobella is available nationwide at specialty food markets. More information at ciaobellagelato.com or 1-800-GELATO-3. Support for On the Media also comes from the Bydell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.